The prayer points God is giving us let us know that God has determined that there shall be testimony after tonight. I believe it. I believe with the whole of my heart. You did not waste your time coming here this night. Hallelujah. Can I answer just maybe two questions? I think our time is gone. I still want us to pray. Whenever I pray, we'll get some more prayer points. Can I answer anybody? Any question? Igwe. Any sister, you have any question? We've been taking a lot of teaching these days, and we don't want to leave anybody in confusion. I won't be taking too many so that we can really use this night to pray. And I pray that you will not ask the one that will be too long to answer. Yes, let's hear you. Igwe, the way you jumped up. Give him microphone, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I might not need to open the Bible. Let me just give it to you straight, sir. Okay, so the first question is, occult people or these armed robbers, they used to go to native doctors. They get with these witchcraft powers and they can appear and disappear. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 8, it was recorded that the Holy Ghost caught away Philip. Now, I was wondering, how come the Holy Ghost caught away Philip, which means that there's a connection between angels and the Holy Ghost when it comes to some... I want you to enlighten me more on that, sir.
What you are saying is God was able to take away Philip.
Yes, he disappeared.
And now you are saying native doctors too.
No, not native doctors. I mean, they, with their demonic powers, they give them charms and... I know it's demons or whatever. But which means that... even on the side of God too, maybe there's something about the angels disappearing people.
That's what I'm saying now. Every power that God displays, Satan has a counterfeit of it. There's nothing strange about it. Everything that God demonstrates, when Moses went to Egypt, to Pharaoh's palace, he threw his stick, he turned to snake. Those magicians, by incantations and invocations, threw their own too, and he turned to snake. I mean to snakes. So it is, they are all impersonating spirits.
No, you didn't get my question, sir. What if you look at Revelation chapter 7, he talked about an angel having the seal of God in his hand.
Yes.
And now we know it's that the Holy Ghost that seals. That's yes. What I'm saying. I want what is the connection between, is it that some group of angels, this Holy Ghost and angel something is, I don't want you to just, that's my question, sir.
Maybe I'm not understanding your question. The demonstration of the power,
yes,
of the Holy Ghost is different from the sealing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
I understand this.
The seal there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
I understand this.
Disappearing and appearing, falling down under anointing and all that take place is anointing. And he, God, giveth his gift. Both to even the rebellious, Psalm 68, verse 18, say so. So he gave his gift to everyone. Satan has the same anointing that Angel Gabriel has. And so when Angel Gabriel comes to demonstrate, or Satan too will come and demonstrate. But the difference is clear. One is Satan, one is Gabriel.
As now you've explained what I wanted to know.
Thank you.
Okay, sir, finally, sir. Now, I was reading, sir, what is this distinction? Every time they say how big Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and then 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. He said, with demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. I was thinking, once you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to have the power. But there's always and added. Is it possible for someone to receive the Holy Ghost without power?
No, you, when you read some of these things, don't read it from academic, read it in its context. The Holy Ghost, Apostle Paul speaks about coming with a demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. Now you have to understand what is the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? And what is the power of the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? Is God himself. By my understanding, when he, Apostle Paul, makes that statement, and in Acts, Luke was also using the same reference concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. All that I think, I believe, I understand, is when they come down, the power there is in healing and deliverance. And of the Holy Ghost there is that a sinner is converted to a saint. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what they mean.
Sir, but is it not possible that someone receives the Holy Ghost and cannot display or manifest any power? Like the power
it depends on which power you are referring to.
Like the kind of word you are using.
It is not possible because scripture cannot fight scripture. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So there must be power.
Yes, sir, but some of us are still going for deliverance now.
Eh?
If we have that, all of us cannot do what Afam is doing now. Afam. And even you too, sir, you know that some things that some of your ministers cannot handle, they have to refer to you. That's what I'm saying.
Praise God. Open Romans chapter 12. I just want him to. He's a Bible student. Okay. Verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according, that is where I am going, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the measure of faith there, you can go back to Mark chapter 4, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he says, for as we have, verse 4, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Does that answer your question?
Very well, sir. Thank
God
you,
bless,
sir.
God bless you. Everybody has a measure. And they see small, small, but equal measure past my own. Eh? That's the grace. Yes, sister? But when it comes to casting out devil, if his wife, if his wife was sick, she, where is he? Okay, carry that one, come out. Eh? His wife go get belle, the thing will come out. She can't get belle, one demon come, they threaten her. He pray, tire. He carry and come meet me. 5 minutes of prayer, it was over. Measure of grace. Praise God. Kenneth. The day I handle Kenneth's wife in my office, he said, and I say, daddy go carry and go poop it now, help me. Say, I know if you pray for my wife, I carry and come meet him. I don't talk on today now. Because when he brought her, he could not sleep the previous night. And he called me, I said, bring her to me in the office. When he brought, I say, so all this mud, all this one, you're anointing head in the sea, you don't reach your wife. You are still bringing her to me. Amen. One time prayer. Pyam. It was over. So when she recovered, then I said, you see, I am more anointed than your husband. Praise the Lord. It is the measure of faith. Okay. Sister.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, Monday you make mention of a preacher that was preaching about the message, but he did not hear the message of William Branham. the man that wrote the book.
Yes, what's your question?
So I want to ask, since he did not hear the shout, but he just preaching according to the revelation God gave to him, if a seven thunder sound, will he be part of it, or he will still be preaching what he is preaching?
Now let me tell you something, sister. I am still seeking appointment to meet with him. That is the former governor of Anambra State, Mbadiniju. I have read, I've spoken with him when I saw what he wrote in the paper, and he sent some books to me. I gave some ministers some copies. And after going through it, we discovered that, well, I'm waiting for the day I will meet him. He has come across the ministry of William Branham. But one of the things a lot of these denominational ministers, they do, is they want to appear as some big revelated pastors. So they will refuse to give credit to where they get their revelation from. He's making it look as if it's a revelation he received from studying the Bible. It's a lie. I am waiting for the day I will meet him. And I will tell him it is wrong. In literary work, those of you who... There is plagiarism. There is plagiarism. It's to take another writer's work and make it look like your own. It's a criminal offense in a literary society. Praise God. Everything he wrote there, nobody knew anything until God raised up that man, William Branham. Nobody. Nobody. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Selah. We know it. That's why God made us to see it. Okay. Don't worry. We shall settle it. When I settle it with him, I will tell you what happened.
Praise the Lord. My next question is, almost all the signs that Christ mentioned that will happen before the end of the world, almost all has taken place. So I want to ask, what next again is remaining for rapture to take place?
No, that's a good question. Praise the Lord. But you have been long in the ministry, in this church. You are supposed to be grounded far beyond this type of question. Because we have preached concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ several times here. And we said there are three stages according to 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. Name them. Oh yeah. What's the first one?
The shout.
What's the second one?
Archangel.
The third one.
And the trove of God.
So the shout has gone forth. You should be answering people that the next thing we are waiting for is the voice of the archangel. And that is what we are waiting for. I think that is settled.
Sir, like when I was...
That's the seven thunders. Yes
sir. When I was at home, I wrote the question. I said, is it that the rapture have taken place? Because rapture might have taken place and we that is remaining, maybe we didn't... Because, praise the Lord.
Praise God. Let me tell you this thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If the rapture has finished according to the divine timetable, Daniel chapter 9, there will be a covenant that will be entered with nations. To even start with, there is a war in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 39. I mean chapter 38, chapter 39. That war will be fought place. Listen, I am waiting for May to come so that I will preach a message to answer that man that said the world will end in May 21. I will preach it and air it on television for 1 week to that 21. 1 week to the 21st, we shall start airing it on television to tell the whole world, 21st we come of May and we shall be here. We shall even witness who Jonathan will hand over to. We shall still be here. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Sir.
We shall put it in the internet. We shall put it in our Facebook. We shall put it everywhere. 1 week to the time. And shout that that man is a false. Nothing will happen. Listen. That war in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 will be the reason the United Nations will be dissolved. Then they will look for a man that the whole world have respect. A one government, one world government with a leader. And that leader will sit in that office and enter into agreement. While that is going on, within that period, the rapture will strike. You have to know that.
Yes, sir.
Because within that period, the gospel is supposed to now move to Israel. And he will leave Rome. That man. The Bible referred to him as the man of sin. The son of perdition. Now we go to sit in the temple. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He will sit in the temple desiring to be worshipped. That is when that 144,000 Jews will be anointed from the ministry of those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. By that time, the rapture has taken place. That war has not taken place. The rapture has not struck. And then the thunders will sound. We shall hear the thunder. The thunder will give us the rapturing faith. Rapture has not started.
But sir,
rapture has not struck. But rapture has started, it has not yet struck.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But Israel now is inviting Europe for that battle and also for worship.
AD 70. This sister did not catch that battle. Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39 speaks about the king of the north leading that large armies to come against Israel. The king of the north is Russia, leading these Arab nations to come and fight Israel. And the Bible said, then the God of Israel will arise and let them know there is God in Israel. So it's not Israel that will invite anybody to come. No. They will sit down, they will arise. That war will take place anytime from now because of what is building up in the Middle East. Okay, brother.
Pastor, God bless you.
God bless you too.
I want to ask a question on concerning the key Christ left for us in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. When the Pharisees came to demand for signs from him,
yep.
And he told them that there will be no sign that should be given to them except the sign of prophet Jonah. That as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall he, the Son of Man, be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Then my question now comes.
Can you read it again? Read that portion. Read it. Give him Matthew 12. It says, wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Read it.
From 38 to 40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee.
Yes.
But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So my question is this. The Catholic Church preached that Christ died on a Friday, which I myself, I didn't believe it. So, but I came across a magazine that was sent to me from America, Tomorrow's World, preaching that Christ rose on a Saturday and died on a Wednesday. Hallelujah. So I just want you to
see, listen. I want you to listen very carefully. I have heard that argument, especially from the Sabbatarians, the Seventh-day Adventists. What they say is the argument that if we say Jesus Christ died on Friday, then if he resurrected on Sunday, then it is not yet 3 days and three nights. So what I say is, it is pure and simple. We have to believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible that Jesus Christ, was supposed to die and be buried 3 days under the earth in the grave, 3 days and three nights, and we all agree that he resurrected on Sunday, the contention then is, when did he die? Left to me, I will calculate from Sunday morning, 3 days and three nights back. That's all. Because I have to believe the account of this Bible. So no argument.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So I came across a magazine published by this our church.
Yes.
When the church was in Antonio Bay, though I have not joined the church then.
It was the Bride's Meet. It's called the Bride's Meet. What happened was that there was a write-up by these same Sabbatarians that was trying to bring out the history of Easter, which we agreed with. And when it was, the excerpts were removed from there and credit was given to that magazine where they picked it from, so that they will know that it is called from a particular magazine. They went into further to what they believe. And even that time, I told the press that they would have edited that aspect out of that publication. So we did not take everything they wrote.
Okay. Thank you.
Agreement. Yes.
Thank you.
Sister?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, I'm the sister that sent you a text on one of the election days.
Concerning
Sotai.
Sotai.
Yes, Pastor.
Do I remember? What is it? What is the question?
It's a personal experience I encounter with my mom, though she's late. Well, I don't know if it's good for me to disclose this there.
You want to see me for it?
Yes, okay, Pastor.
Then see me for it.
That's one. Another one is this. When a brother was giving a message here, it reminds me of a dream I had. That he said the devil is using the man's face, yes, against the family. So the dream is this. I was at home. I was sleeping.
Do you want to ask whether it is possible for the devil to use somebody's face?
Although I know, but I explained the dream.
They use your face?
Yes, sir.
They use your face too?
No, sir. It's my brother. My senior brother.
They use your brother's face.
He called me in a dream.
No, what I'm saying is because we want to save time.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying is, you want to confirm what that revelation saw.
Yes, sir.
We agree. It happens. A common thing. That's why we took that prayer point.
Sorry, sir. I'm confused. If really, I want to know why he called me. Because I'm confused concerning that very thing.
Go meet her. Ask him now. Why he called you?
But I didn't answer the call. It is in a dream. He called me. I didn't answer. I woke up. So I'm confused concerning that.
Okay, your question is a deliverance question and it is not a doctrinal issue. Okay. It's a personal thing. There are personal revelations you have that need personal counseling and advice depending on your particular circumstance. So maybe when we meet, we will discuss that with you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor, my question is simple. I'm a believer of this William Marion Braham message.
Amen. Yeah. Clap your hands now.
Yeah. But there is an end time message I used to visit I used to visit them at Bokono.
You used? They cannot hear you.
There are end time message. I used to visit in Bokono.
Where did they call Bokono?
Bokono Estate.
Okay.
I check on their side.
Okay.
The truth another way. But if any that I visit them, they used to emphasize on Braham.
Yes.
They don't even talk Bible much. Okay. But everything Braham. At times they put the video, they watch and pray and go. So my question, at times I don't used to be comfortable with them. I say, is it wise?
Let me just quickly ask. You're a member of that Bokno church?
No, I'm a member of Prayer Assembly here.
Where did you see the message of William Braham?
Here.
You saw it here?
Yes.
Okay. What takes you there? Okay, you discover that they are also believers.
I visit them.
Okay. Now let me use this opportunity to say something. That of all the seven star messengers that God sent in the seven church ages, the messenger, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, my eye caught something. Ebuka, your neck go fall down for nothing. Stand up. You too, stand up. Come and give them tag. Come on, your own. Hang them. Give them tag. Be going around. Anybody you see sleeping, wake them up. Go around. Of all the message, the messengers, William Braham, listen, oh, the followers of William Braham, they are the most confused and the most fragmented. And anybody that sees this entire message through this church, you can't fit in any of them all over the country, if not all over the world. The reason is, there is another aspect of the ministry of William Braham that very few know about. It's in Matthew chapter 2. Can I read it? Can I read your Bible? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Sorry. I hope it's Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. Yes, this owner of this Bible, you marked it in your Bible. This is John the Baptist saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan, that is where I am going, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his flock and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That is one. Go to Matthew 13 again. In Matthew 13, listen carefully, church. There are seven parables chronologically arranged. Each parable was a prophetic condition of the coming church ages. The first parable was for the first church age. The second parable was for the second church age. The third parable in our study of the seven church ages, we tried to bring this out. The last parable, hallelujah, that which is the seventh parable, verse 47. This parable is for the seventh church age. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it is full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Church, verse 47 of Matthew 13 and verse 12 of Matthew chapter 3. These ministries, they were fulfilled in the ministry of William Branham. William Branham, because of the anointing, amen, upon him, was going to cause all manner of crowds to follow him. All manner of people were following William Branham. Millions all over the world. He had in his own time, he was the biggest gatherer in his crusade. Trailer loads of crutches will be packed out. That's why you hear us singing, praise the Lord, the God of Abraham is still alive. Praise the Lord, he never changes at all, at all. When the prophet was ministering, it's William Branham that started that gift in this age. The gift that somebody can stand and look at you and tell you your name, where you're coming from, what your problem is, and give you a solution. He was the only man that started and had it at his own time until God took him away. And William Branham said that that gift that was seen with him in the minority, he said just before the coming of the Lord, he sees a group of people, the bride, that this same gift will be among them. Has it not come to pass in this ministry? Praise God. None of these people prophesying came to this church with that gift. It was after they came here, they received the message, that gift came upon them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All manner of people were going, but not too many of them caught the message. They were following his flesh. Until there were a group of people that looked at him and said, this is not an ordinary man. They say this is Jesus again that came. He doesn't want people to know. In Canada, even in Nigeria here, there are a group of people that baptized in the name of William Branham. They say William Branham is Elohim, God in the flesh. That was after he went. And William Branham prophesied that it will happen. And he said, when it happens, he said, bride, he said, you don't believe that story. Don't follow it. He said, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, knowing that this all manner of the net is anointing the gospel that was thrown, he gathered all sorts of people. But when they sat down to shore, amen, then the separation began. How is the separation? God caused William Branham to be making some statements, to put in some actions. Matthew chapter 3, it says that the fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge the flock. In Israel, he was using an example for farmers, where you will go to the farm and bring your wheat. But that wheat that you bring from the farm has chaff and all manner of things there. And you know chaff, any wind can blow it away. The chaff is not as heavy as the wheat itself. And so it is brought, then they will use a big wrapper. Somebody will now gather, when they bring it to the threshing floor, somebody will fetch it, put it up, and then they will use that cloth and make a breeze. That is the fan. And blow like this. Only the real wheat will fall back to the ground there. The chaff, wind will blow it away. And William Branham made some statements that carnal people that were following the ministry of William Branham, those of them who even were alive at that time, and then they would use that statement and get off of the track for salvation. And so, for instance, they never believe that any human being in this age can say, "Thus say the Lord," anymore. So, you don't have healing, you don't have deliverance, you don't have prophecy. No gifts. In 90% of inter-message churches, none of these gifts operate. If you start to speak in tongues, they will jack you and throw you outside the church. If you say, "Thus said the Lord," say, "Shut up." Only William Branham has "Thus said the Lord." William Branham made a statement. He said, "You don't add to the word." And he said, "Say what the tapes say." What he's saying is, he has dropped the revelation. They are recorded and they are on his tapes. He said, "Say what the tapes say." Their own interpretation is, we don't have any message. So when they go to church, they will play the tape of William Branham. So you see where they get that tape from. So, American man is speaking American English. Do we not go to school? How we go take hear the man? So the man is taking, then a few people are sitting down there, "Amen, amen, say it." I know of some that will tell you that everything William Branham said is "Thus said the Lord." And I met one of them who wanted to sponsor my television program. He sponsored it for Pastor Thomas. How long did he sponsor it? He sponsored it for 1 month. For 1 month. And then he sat down. He said, but he was expecting me that I'll be playing William Branham tapes. I said, "I should play William Branham tapes." I said, "You got it wrong. Then you can go get your own airtime and be playing it." From that, he told me, he said, "But Brother Moses, do you know we don't have any other thing else to say? We can only say what William Branham said. Do you know everything William Branham said is thus said the Lord?" I said, "No, sir. Everything William Branham said is not thus said the Lord." I said, he was a human being. I said, "This is how William Branham told us." He said, "Anything he said that is contrary to the Bible," he said, "drop my own and hold to that of the Bible. How can you say everything he says is thus said the Lord?" He said, "Everything is thus said the Lord." So I took one of the sermon books. I said, I called him and I said, "This is a tape. This is a tape." He said, "Yes." I said, "You know, it's transcribed into this book." So I said, "Here you see. Church, good morning, Brother Neville. I just came back. Well, thank God." I started reading. I said, "Is that thus said the Lord?" He said, I will say that is, he's speaking by inspiration. I said, "If William Branham meet his wife at home, he's meeting her by inspiration." I told him that nonsense. I'm not part of it. It is a revelation that he brought. And it is that revelation we are following. Praise the Lord. Therefore, amen. That's why all of them in Lagos say, "Pastor Moses is not in the message." I told them, "It is true. I am not in your kind of message." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I understand so many of people that travel, they travel to Abuja, travel, but they call me, "Which message church will I attend?" And I will tell them, I say, "That is the problem we have. We are believing God that God will raise up ministers from this church, that we catch the revelation of what we are doing here and go out and start ministries That all over the country, people can have a place they can go and freely worship the Lord. Praise God. So people have taken the quotes of William Branham and left the message. But we are following the spirit of revelation, and that is where we are now. Praise the Lord. Forget it. They are not in the message.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Our time is up. Okay. Can we take any more? Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, I was discussing with one of my colleagues about earring.
Earring.
Yes, sir. She asked me, why am I not putting earring? I told her I don't want to be a slave. And she said she's from CPM. She said she believes in trousers that is not good. Revon is not good. But she's not yet convinced about earring. I told her, but if you go to scan and ask the sex of your baby, you don't see the piercing of the ear before you know the sex of your baby.
Thank you.
She now said, but when the children of Israel were leaving when they were going back to Israelites, that they asked them to take the ear, their goats and all that for their adoring, something like that. That am I not an English person? I told her, but that one is not what I was convinced of. So, Pastor, and I stopped there. So, that's gold, they are adoring and all that. I want you to throw more light on it so that I will not know what to tell her.
Praise God. Church, it's not what to tell her. Because there are people that you will open the Bible and show them. They have made up their mind on how they will serve God. And God knows of their existence. And he raised pastors for such people.
But let me just be convinced that when I'm telling another person...
Now, if you are not convinced, why did you stop wearing your own? And the Bible says anything that is not of faith is what? See, God does not accept anything you do because a man tells you to
do. Sir, no. That one, before even I met this church, I came to this church with my husband.
Yes.
I have not been wearing earring.
Okay.
But when I entered university, I told my daddy that I was too old. I have to start wearing earring. But when I came here, and I saw
you
that...
You received your deliverance when you came here.
I now removed everything. So, you know, when I will now go back to the East, I really have to... have something
church,
to
listen.
Say.
Church, listen. Why are you, sister, ashamed of being odd? If you go to the North, beautiful girls, because of what they believe, they tie themselves and leave only eye and nose. And they are not ashamed. Why are Christians ashamed to declare your stand on earth? The truth is, we are supposed to be odd. This is how William Branham put it. He said, every Christian, he said, if the whole world is going right, he said, to let them know that you are different, he said, turn opposite side and go. He said, you must do everything to show the world that you are not part of them. Amen. Praise God. See, do you know the message I preached, the gospel according to nature? Okay. Now, when your mama born you, sister, did he born you with open ear?
No.
Eh?
No.
Is that not enough answer for somebody? Which scripture are you looking for again? It's enough answer. Secondly, do you believe the end time message as delivered through his servant William Marion Branham to this age?
Yes.
Do you believe that the ministry of William Branham fulfills Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, part B?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Now, if you believe it, then, do you believe that William Branham is the voice of God to this generation?
Yes.
If you do, William Branham said, this is thus said the Lord. He said, let the daughters of God not wear trouser, not paint their face, not wear earring. I am satisfied with that. I believe him. I'm satisfied with that. And unless anybody has seen the importance of that ministry of the seventh angel, there is nothing else they cannot do. Thank you. Yes.
Pastor, God bless you.
God bless you.
Sir, 2 weeks ago, you celebrated your wedding anniversary here.
Yep.
And you blessed the singles and blessed Hanky. And asked us to tie it on our neck for 7 days. During that 7 days, I have many experiences. But there is this one that still surprised me. I don't understand. And I want you to give me the interpretation of it.
If it's a personal something, I think no, unless sir. You see me. If it's not a doctrinal issue, it's doctrine that I answer openly like this. But if you have a personal counseling, because I cannot use your experience and generalize it.
I think
so. Every revelation you have is a personal thing to you, and we need to hear you and counsel you accordingly.
But sir, I think people we benefit from this, my experience.
Okay, let me hear you.
Sir, the experience is I was in a revelation, and we were going to somewhere. So on the process, the vehicle we are into stopped, and that place is stopped. I didn't know that place, and in that very particular place, the people that are living there, they kill people and eat people. So, and we are 5 in numbers. And on the process, they came to us. They wanted to kill us. But they saw the hanky that we are tying on our neck. So they said, because of this hanky, they will not kill us. So I was trying to ask them, why? They said that we are slaves. And I asked them, what do they mean by slaves? They said, they don't have any explanation anymore. But because of this hanky, that they will not kill us. And the next thing again they did that was that we were trying to ask them to show us the way out. They said they will not do that because they couldn't kill us because of that hanky. So that we should look for a place to escape. So I managed to escape from there. The 4 of the others couldn't escape. So I woke up and I was contemplating on what does that slave that they said mean. I don't understand it. Up to now it still troubles me.
Praise the Lord. It's a Christian, not a slave. Eh? Give me a microphone. Are you not a slave of Christ?
I'm a slave of Christ.
What did Apostle Paul call himself? He said he's a prisoner for who? He's a prisoner for who? He said even he's a fool. Even he said he's a fool for Christ. So once you are a Christian, the life, amen. I think that is, okay. Once you are a Christian, the life that you live is no longer you. That's how he said. He said, the life that I live is no longer I that liveth, but who? But Christ that liveth in me. Who is a slave? A slave is one that does nothing except as directed by the master. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are fools for Christ. We are prisoners for Christ. We are slaves of Jesus. That is who we are.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Amen. Okay, sister, finished. The last person now.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, sir. I want to answer a question.
Yes.
A question that I want to ask. Why are they believers, those that they have already given their life instantly to God, why are they suffering in such suffer? And why are those that didn't know Christ, they are prospering? I want to know. I want you to enlighten me more.
Hallelujah. Why should I as a Christian suffer? And then unbelievers, they are not suffering, they are enjoying. Why? The answer is in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Okay, I think that is the last person now. Any sister? That's okay. That's the last person. Psalm 73. Can somebody help us open Psalm number 73? Brother, where's your Bible now? Pick your Bible now, brother. That is quite an interesting question. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me read it up to verse 17. Up to verse 18. Let me read it. It said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought, that is where I am going from verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? And in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awaketh, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And on to the end. Does that answer you?
Yes, sir.
It needs no further explanation. Go and meditate on Psalm 73 and you will get your answer.
Sir, I want to answer another question.
Okay.
My question that I want to ask. I know that people will say, why did I ask this question? Why are the people that their hand, their heart is clean, and people are tormenting them the extent that they just want to use their life and want to make them, they didn't want to become somebody? Why people are so wicked?
The answer is in that same Psalm 73. So go and read it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let me tell you something, sir. Evil people hate good people. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did the Jews kill Jesus? Praise God. Why did the brothers of Joseph hate him and wanted to kill him and sent him away? It's the same thing. It is part of existence. Evil people hate good people. The reason is your goodness condemned them. Amen. Your goodness condemned them. You are light and they are darkness. When light comes, darkness suffers. And that is why they will continue to fight you. That is the truth. Secondly, when a prisoner escapes from prison yard, what happens? Security forces will look for you, look for you, look for you, look for you, until they catch you back. We were all in the prison of Satan until Jesus came and loosed us. Where Satan has been destined to end, he knows his end. You have escaped. So he decides, okay, but before you go to that heaven, I will make life rough for you on earth. That is the reason Christians suffer in the hands of satanic forces. Because they know you have what they desire, but they can't get. You have eternal life. Praise the Lord. And God also allows it for a purpose. Praise the Lord. Because there can be no reward unless there is a race. Amen. There can be no crown unless there is a victory. There cannot be victory until there is a war, a battle. And we are supposed to be battle axes of the Lord. To pull down every imagination. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is very interesting. But one thing is that we have been assured victory. No matter what we go through. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous from all his troubles. And to reserve the wicked for the day of judgment. So that consoles us. Praise the Lord. That's why we sing that song. We are victorious. Yes, we are victorious. Glory be to God who has given us the victory. That is a battle song. Amen. I think that should answer you. But again, revelation of who you are is what sees you through. Psalm 27, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me, they do what? They stumble and, he said, though an host shall encamp against me. He said, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, Christians have enough words from heaven to comfort us and see us through. That is what somebody considered when he sang that song, see me through, Lord Jesus, see me through. See me through, Lord Jesus, see me through. There is a race I must run. Oh, there is a victory to be won. Give me power every hour. See me through. You know that song? Eh?
No, sir.
You don't know that song?
Yes, sir.
Then you never start the battle, no?
Jesus.
When you start the battle, you go know. God bless you. You never finish.
Sir,
come, one prayer.
Sir, that is what I want to say. As a Christian, that are giving your life to Christ, and again, a Christian have a problem, and again, didn't went to any DB, any places. He run to direction to God. Why are
you
the
went to where? You go where?
You went direction to God and went to run to his father.
Wait, I had DB.
He being as a Christian doesn't run to DBI. He didn't run to anywhere.
Okay, you don't run to DBI.
Where you want to run to God. And as he runs to God, why are the problem are delaying to God to deliver him? I want to know.
You want to know? Give him now. Okay, open Romans again. Chapter 5 or chapter 6? Open Romans, I think it's chapter 5. He's still not convinced. Are you there? Open Romans chapter 5 and let me read verse 3. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let me read verse 3. 4 and I think up to verse 5. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Hallelujah. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Do you understand that scripture, sir? Let me read it again. Sir, listen, are you a member of this church?
No, sir.
Which church do you attend?
My church I attend is a Sword of the River Ministry.
It's what?
Sword of the River Ministry. I attend because why I came here is nobody directed me here to be in this ministry. I came by myself.
How did you know there is a ministry here?
Thank you, sir. How I know is that it is when I was choosing here, when I was working a little bit work like as a carpenter, and I was using it to help myself. And unfortunately, I was passing by, so let me stroke around. And I saw this place and I love here since then, and I always like to come here.
Okay. Okay, now why I'm asking is, if you are a member of this church, I think we have explained this, your question, several times in several messages in this church. But let me just explain this verse I have just read. It says, we glory in tribulations also. That is, you should give thanks. Romans 8 verse 28 says, for we know that all things work together for good. All is all. Amen. I think Ephesians, somewhere in Ephesians also, chapter 2 or so, he said we should give thanks for all things. All things. A songwriter says, let the weak say I am, and let the poor say what? Because all things work together for good. See, he says we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation will produce patience. Eh? Sir, what's your name?
Sir.
What's your name?
Kingsley Chinazebere.
Brother Kingsley.
Chinazebere.
Yeah, Brother Kingsley. I want you to listen. If you are going to walk with God, God has his own timetable for every one of us. And so, in the stature of a perfect man that I taught recently, you are to add to your faith what? Virtue. That is 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue what? Knowledge. Add to your knowledge what? Temperance. Add to your temperance what? Patience. That is the stature of perfection that Apostle Peter gave us. Why must you have patience? Those that will wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, he told his disciples that he's coming soon. 2,000 years ago, he said, I am coming soon. 2,000 years ago, all the disciples, they thought he would come at their own time. Up till now, he's still telling us he's coming soon. Because 1,000 years, our own 1,000 years, 2 Peter chapter 3, what did he say? How many days before God? One day. So if you are going to walk with God, if God leaves you, say, I am coming back soon. It's not your own soon. He's referring to his own soon. Therefore, you must have patience. So, to produce that patience, he uses tribulation to train you to have patience. That's what Paul is teaching here. He says, tribulation worketh patience. That is, produce patience. Patience. He said, and patience will produce what? Experience. And from experience, you will have what? Hope. So the reason why a Christian will believe God and have hope is because he has experience that he had in the time of patience. And he had to have patience. During that period of patience, he faced tribulation. That is what particularly genuine Christians face. You face persecution in the time of your trial for your perfection. God uses it to perfect us. That is how God's principle is. Why will he allow his only begotten son come here and suffer? Why did he use another means to save us? Why should somebody go and suffer when he didn't commit anything? That is the same reason why you too, you will suffer for doing nothing to fulfill his purpose. I think that answers your question, because
yes,
I want to summarize it. So don't be weak. Whatever you're looking for, believe that tomorrow it will come, if it didn't come today. If God doesn't answer me today, you answer me tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see a member of this church knows you have a problem and say, follow me to my church, something must happen, it's because from her own experience, she knows that God will do it. Therefore, she will never go to Babalawo at the appointed time. Praise God. Well, that is the mystery around the God we serve. And there's nothing you can do to change it. You just humble yourself. We are the clay. He is the potter. He said we are called according to his purpose. Can we stand up now? To you, Lord, be all the glory. To you, Jehovah, be all the glory. To you, Papa,
be all the glory.
Oh, adoration for me,
Almighty Father, to you,
be all the glory.
To you, oh.